Penguin Audio presents Lover at Last by J.R. Ward. Read by Jim Frangione. Prelude. Quinn, son of Lostrong, entered his family home through its grand front door. The instant he stepped over the threshold, the smell of the place curled up into his nose. Lemon polish, beeswax candles, fresh flowers from the garden that the Doggin brought in daily. Perfume, his mother's. Cologne, his father's and his brother's. Cinnamon gum, his sister's. If the Glade Company ever did an air freshener like this, it would be called something like Meadow of Old Money. Or Sunrise over a Fat Bank Account. Or maybe the ever-popular We're Just Better Than Everyone Else. Distant voices drifted over from the dining room, the vowels round as brilliant cut diamonds, the consonants drawled out smooth and long as satin ribbons.
"Oh, Lily, this is lovely, thank you," his mother said to the server. "But that's too much for me."
"And do not give Solange so all that. She's getting heavy." Ah, yes, his mother's perma-diet, inflicted on the next generation. Glymera females were supposed to disappear from sight when they turned sideways. Each jutting collarbone, sunken cheek and bony upper arm some kind of fucked-up badge of honor. As if resembling like a fire poker would make you a better person. And scribe virgin, forefend if your daughter looked like she was healthy.
"Ah, yes, thank you, Lilith," his father said evenly.
"More for me, please." Quinn closed his eyes and tried to convince his body to step forward. One foot after another. It was not that tough. His brandy new Ed Hardy kicks middle-fingered that suggestion. Then again, in so many ways, walking into that dining room was belly-of-the-beast time. He let his duffel fall to the floor. The couple of days at his best friend Blaze's house had done him good, a break from the complete lack of air in this house. Unfortunately, the burn on re-entry was so bad, the cost-benefit of leaving was nearly equal. Okay, this was ridiculous. He couldn't keep standing here like an inanimate object. Turning to the side wall, he leaned into the full-length antique mirror that was placed right by the door. So thoughtful. So in keeping with the aristocracy's need to look good. This way, visitors could check their hair and clothes as the butler accepted coats and hats. The young pre-trans face that stared back at him was all even features, good jawline, and a mouth that, he had to admit, looked like it could do some serious damage to naked skin when he got older. Or maybe that was just wishful thinking. Hair was Vlad the Impaler, spikes standing up straight from his head. Neck was strung with a bike chain, and not one bought at Urban Outfitters, but the link that had previously motivated his 12-speed. All things being equal, he looked like a thief who had broken in and was prepared to trash the place on the hunt for sterling silver, jewelry, and portable electronics. The irony was that the goth bullcrap wasn't actually the most offensive part of his appearance to his fam. In fact, he could have stripped down, hung a light fixture off his ass and run around the first floor playing Jose Canseco with the art and antiques, and not come close to how much the real problem pissed off his parents. It was his eyes. One blue, one green. Oopsie. Is bad. The Glymera didn't like defects. Not in their porcelain or their rose gardens. Not in their wallpaper or their carpets or their countertops. Not in the silk of their underwear, or the wool of their blazers, or the chiffon of their gowns. And certainly not ever in their children. Sister was okay. Well, except for the little weight problem that didn't actually exist. And a lisp that her transition hadn't cured. Oh, and the fact that she had the personality of their mother. And there was no fixing that shit. Brother, on the other hand, was the real fucking star. A physically perfect, firstborn son prepared to carry forth the family bloodline by reproducing in a very genteel, non-moaning,
no-sweat situation with a female chosen
Sample complete. Ready to continue?